This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, Dave Wyman's going to join us in a couple minutes. Brock and Salk here, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. We've lost Brock. He had to go to some of his meetings before his game this weekend. He's got Arizona and Utah, so looking forward to catching Brock on the broadcast, Friday night, Arizona, and they are at Utah. And so, we're going to talk to Dave. Dave is in London getting ready for the game on Sunday. We got a couple of other things to do this hour that I'm looking forward to. We've got a special guest for Answer the Question Jerk. We've got a dramatic recreation of something that is of dire importance. And then if you didn't hear it yesterday, Danny O'Neill created a, I don't even really sure what to call it. You call that a skit, Howdy? I don't even really know what you would
sketch?
Call it. Sketch? A sketch?
Sketch comedy.
I don't know what it is, but it is bizarre, and it was on Danny, Dave, and Moore yesterday, so we'll play that for you coming up here in a few minutes as well. Seahawks in London, it's not a must win, but it's one of those games. Now, each time you kind of fall behind the eight ball, you get the next one sort of in a must win or something close to it category. I think we saw that with the Dallas and Arizona games, and they came away with wins in those games. The next game was not must win. They could afford to lose that game to L.A., but it means that when you go play the Raiders in London at 2-3, you know, you've kind of taken apart your margin for error. That's what the Seahawks have done. That's what the loss in Denver did. It took away some of the margin for error. That's what the loss in Chicago did, although that loss is looking better and better as the season goes on. It takes away some of that margin for error. It means you can't afford to lose other games that you need to win if you want to try to sneak into this thing as a wild card. So, yeah, go to London. Take on a Raiders team that is in a bad way. I mean, other than Marshawn Lynch, who, by the way, is mad at Gruden for not giving him the ball on the 1 yard line. Other than that, like they're not in a good spot at all. Derek Carr's not playing well. He and John Gruden aren't getting along. Everybody's up in arms still over the Khalil Mack thing because Khalil Mack has more sacks or the same number of sacks as the Raiders do as a team. So you know you're playing a team that is in some level of turmoil. Are the Seahawks in turmoil? It looked that way not that long ago, and they seem to have righted that. I think the way they went out and played against L.A., and even though they lost, I think that is a bonding moment for them. I think that's galvanizing. I think that tells them that they can do it. And if anything, I think that can be one of those losses that ends up being a net positive for the Seahawks as opposed to a net negative when this thing is all said and done. You'll get annoyed at this, but that's fine. I'll tell the story anyway because I think that there's some relevance to it. I believe that there are losses that end up teaching a team more about themselves in a positive than wins. And the game that I always point to, and this is now getting to be a long time ago, so I'm sorry for those of you who are young who think of the Patriots as the dominant team in the NFL, but they weren't. The Patriots were the joke of the NFL for the entirety of my childhood. They were the LA Clippers of the NFL. They never won anything short of this, like, two quick uprisings in 1986 and 1996. They were terrible, awful, terrible team. And then, you know, you have the Brady thing. Brady Bledsoe gets hurt. Brady comes in and wins a few games. And in 01, they go to, at the time, St. Louis to take on the Rams. Greatest show on turf. They lost. They lost that game. But it was a moral victory for them. And I think it taught that team that they were actually ready to go compete for a Super Bowl. You fast forward to the end of the year, they play in the Super Bowl, they come away winners. And I do think that losses, kind of like the one that the Seahawks had this past weekend, can have a net positive effect for the team, even if it doesn't feel that way right at the time. Dave Wyman, he's going to call this game on the radio. He's, of course, the host of Danny, Dave, and Moore, and he's in London. He joins us here in the Venue Kings Hotline. Hi, Dave. How's it going over there?
Hey, guys. Good. It's actually where I am. It feels like I could be at Merrymore Park, actually.
Really?
Can't really tell the difference here. Yeah, we're out in the middle of, I don't want to say nowhere, but it's just like rolling green hills and all these trees. The practice facility, I sent some pictures to Kyle, are awesome. And we got, boy, tight security here. You got to have your badge on, but it's really cool, man. It's in this little hotel that... I don't know if you ever saw Bridget Jones' Diary, where they go on holiday and they go out to that place that's out in the middle of nowhere. It kind of looks like that.
I got to tell you, so, Dave, you have been up a while because I was not expecting a Bridget Jones reference from you today.
Yeah, I'm loopy as hell right now. Yeah, I've not slept and I tried taking some stuff. It didn't work for me.
Oh, no.
I went and raided the honor bar in the room. That seems to have kept me pepped up a little bit. I just got a recovery drink from Michelle, who gives drinks out to the Seahawks. And I just interviewed a really hilarious British dude for our show.
Okay. What's his deal?
He listens to our show. Yeah, his name's Rob Staten.
Oh, yeah. That guy, he's like a big draft guy, right? He's big into the draft.
He's a BBC. He works for the BBC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a draft guy, but anyway, he listens to our show out here. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Were the players able to sleep better than you did, do you think?
I hope so, man. I just cannot sleep on planes and just, you know, 18 years of football. My wife asked me, what's wrong? I go, 18 years of football. You know, that's really why I can't sleep. But, yeah, it's. I hope those guys did a better job. And I think they're doing a good job with, you know, how they're planning it. They're going and doing some team activity tonight. I don't know if it's bowling or something like that. They just want to keep the guys up. So they're all getting on the buses and going somewhere just as a team to keep them up until, you know, 8 or 9 or 10. And then, you know, get their schedule back on. Because I think it's important, man, because especially for the offense, they are on a roll right now. I mean, I feel like they bottled a recipe that game against L.A. And I know they lost and, it wasn't great and they made some mistakes. But Russell's in a flow. The way the running game's going, the way the offensive line's playing right now, I think it's really important that these guys stay, you know, in the groove and don't let something like this disrupt them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was just talking about that before you came on and wondering whether or not there can be losses that convince a team they're good. And I was telling the story of the 0-1 Patriots who lost to the St. Louis Rams, who were the greatest show on turf. They lost that game on the road, and yet it seemed to fill them with confidence for the second half of the team. There have been plenty of other examples. That's just one from my life that comes up. Do you think that they can gain confidence even after a loss?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple guys that said that they felt like they sent a message to the NFL. And I can't remember whether it was Mike Davis or, you know, we interviewed a couple guys out there for the huddle. But, I believe in it. And, look, there's 2, 3, 4 plays that you make during a game that could go the other way. And, you win the game or lose the game. But what the body of work that they put together, especially offensively, was pretty impressive. And I would say that about that young defensive backfield. Every one of those replacements has shown something that is incredibly promising. Trey Flowers, he tipped that ball away. He caused the fumble the week before. Tedrick Thompson, I know he had some whiffs, but boy, a couple of those hits he had were phenomenal. I mean, I'm not sure if Earl could make those kinds of hits the way that he turned the guy around, especially Todd Gurley. Bradley McDougal, I don't even have to talk about, and Shaq Griffin, the same thing. So, yeah, there were some really promising things coming out of that loss.
And in the meantime, the Raiders have been moving in really the opposite direction, and they're not even there yet. They're not coming till what, tomorrow, I think?
Yeah, they're leaving a day later. I heard Gruden saying that. So, yeah, I think they're doing it right here, and Pete just does everything right. I mean, you can hear the music. They're blaring the music just like they do in practice. Got these guys out here. I sent Kyle a video of the running backs going through the ladder, the like rope ladder. And Dave Canales, the quarterback coach, who was, you know, receiver coach, he's got some great feet, man. But so do Chris Carson and Mike Davis. But anyway, yeah, they're just going through and doing all the stuff they would do at Kirkland. Got Michelle, the nutritionist here. I mean, they brought the whole thing, man. It's all set up for them to have success, I think.
Dave, how is this team going to get some pressure on the quarterback?
Yeah, you know, somebody has to step up other than Frank. I'm just looking at Barkevious Mingo, who I really like. And, you know, I think he's probably a better linebacker than he is a pressure guy. But it was kind of disappointing that Deion Jordan didn't do anything last week. You know, Jaron Reed's getting some. You know, there was a sack. The sack that Jaron got in Arizona was because they were sliding their protection over to Frank, and they were double-teaming him, and it looks like he's getting the doubles. So, you know, everybody else got a one-on-one, man. You know, you gotta make something happen. You got to make some plays. I'm really disappointed about Nas Jones. I don't know what's going on with him and why he's been inactive, and I don't know if it's physical or he's in the doghouse or something like that, but I really like him. And I feel like they can get some pressure in the middle with him. But, yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I don't think you need to start blitzing like crazy, but somebody has to step up. And I don't know that there's anybody out there, because I talked to Clayton about it. And it's like, yeah, if there's anybody that good out there, he'd be signed, right?
What about Shaquem? Can Shaquem? I mean, I asked Brock about this yesterday. I mean, the guy did rush the passer some in college. He doesn't seem at this point to be kind of ready to take on an every down linebacker job and some of the decision making and instincts that might take. But what about just bringing him in to rush the passer a few times on third down?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree with you. The thing, whenever I come up with something like that, I'm always like, well, they probably already thought of that.
Right.
And I don't know why they're not doing it. But, I remember talking to Schneider about him after they drafted him. He's like, he has the unique ability of coming off the edge. And I think he played out there mostly. And I don't know. I don't know what the holdup is there. Maybe it was just, maybe they got close on a couple and had, after you go through film, you say, oh, we missed an opportunity here and there. Maybe we could have got, but I think, like we talked about it, that over the last few years, while this defense has been so good, and Cam Chancellor's here, by the way, he made the trip, speaking of good defenses, and everybody was just so excited to see him, but they got 40 sacks a year on average. It was 39 actually since 2012. And, that means you get two sacks 1 week, three sacks the next, two sacks the next week, three sacks, and so on. And it doesn't seem to be that hard to do, but they're struggling with it right now. He also had a really good quarterback who I thought Jared Goff, his feet got so good at getting separation and giving himself time. But man, now you're facing another guy who's deadly. He can be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 90%. He's one of two guys to have a 90% completion rate in a game where he threw over 30 footballs, and that was against Denver, which they lost. But so he's pretty accurate too.
Dave, when I think of Dave Wyman joining us, of course, now doing the Seahawks broadcast, and you can hear him in the afternoons on Danny, Dave, and Moore. He's in London. When I think about you struggling on the plane ride over there, I can't help but think about poor DJ Fluker trying to cram that 370 pounds into one row and trying to make it over there. And so I don't know what kind of shape he'll be in, if he'll be ready, if he'll be achy or whatever, but it sure seems like he has made as much of a difference to this offense as any other single player has in a while.
Yeah, well, I'll say the good news is I'm pretty sure those guys got their own, row so they could lay down across the seat.
They should have gotten DJ's own plane.
Yeah, exactly. He needs a big couch. But, it's funny when you find the right combination. I talked about this the other day. You bring Mike Solari and DJ Fluker from a failing running game in New York, and for some reason there's a fit here. And I think one of the things that DJ's doing is I think he's really helping Ifedi. And for whatever reason, just the things that, just get the right combination and coaches saying the right things and get a little bit of, some momentum. And you see sometimes guys have bad years, sometimes they have good years. I guess I went through that where, there was times where when we ran the 3-4, it took me a while to get it. And then we went to the 4-3 and it just clicked with me because that's how I learned how to be a linebacker at Stanford. So maybe it's, scheme plays and things like that, and you get the right combination of the same old guys that, were somewhere else and couldn't make it happen, and it just clicks for them. I think it's kind of interesting. And have you guys talked to DJ Fluker at all?
I've only listened to him, and I heard him on the huddle. I know you guys had him there. We've never had him on this show. Yeah. I'd like to, just because he seems, he's a different dude.
Yeah, and he's just got this infectious sort of personality, or his enthusiasm, and he talks kind of fast, and he kind of sometimes will stutter a little bit, and he powers through it, and it doesn't bother him, and he just keeps going, and it just it just gets you fired up.
Yeah,
he's an awesome guy, and I see him. He's always got a smile on his face. He's got a good warm personality and a big nasty attitude on the field. He's perfect. So I think it's just, combination of guys, J.R. Sweezy. And then once you do that and you have a couple games like that where, hey, we just pushed around Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, and you look around the room and start going, hey, we're pretty damn good. Let's keep this thing. And you get on a roll and keep it going. So, yeah, it's weird because, you see these coaches and players that just get recycled into new systems, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But right now it's really working for especially the three interior guys. But I don't know, have you guys seen, Jermaine Ifedi, we haven't really been talking about him for the last 3 weeks. And as a matter of fact, I've seen him actually make a couple of really good blocks. So I just figure that's a really good sign.
And I know he technically got the penalty last week, but he basically played a penalty-free game. I mean, that really, by all accounts, he's the only one who jumped as the clock went to zero. So he ends up getting called for a false start. But really, it was going to be a delay of game on everybody else. He played a penalty-free game. Yeah. And if he can keep doing that, Jermaine Ifedi all of a sudden isn't a net negative for your team the way he was. And now this offensive line, it's crazy how 2-3 weeks can change things. They might be one of the biggest strengths of this team, Dave.
Yeah, we're debating that as to whether or not the O-line is an asset for the team. And I think it is. Right now, I mean, look, you got to do it, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row. But right now they've got a good 3-game streak because – you know, I'm so loopy right now. I don't know if I said this on Q13 or I already said it to you, but they were averaging, 70 yards in the first two games and giving up 6 sacks a game. And now they're giving up 2 sacks a game and averaging. They've climbed up to number 8. They're the number 8 running team right now. So, yeah, there's something going on there, and I just hope they're able to continue it this week.
There's a question here on the text machine. I'll ask you this, and then we'll let you go, and hopefully you get some rest here at some point. People want to know if Rashad Tupence is there. I guess it's Tup. Is it Tuppence or Tupence? How did he say it in London? I'm not really big on the British slang, Dave. But
first of all, I'd be very suspicious that that might be Danny.
It may be.
Corny joke.
It does.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, people were saying he's a bust and everything. I'm like, no, he's not. You just got to wait. I mean, some guys take a long time. Let's not, you know, there's some of these rookie running backs that, you know, last year, Kamara and Hunt. I mean, some guys get it early and some don't. And, you know, I'm always giving those rookies a break because that was my experience, and that's the experience of a lot of guys, you know, where you're lost your first year a little bit, and then you come back and the game slows down, and then, you know, you see that he has the talent. We've seen flashes of it. He just hasn't gotten into a groove, and he's just not confident right now. So I just, you know, if he's still running like this and they're not giving him carries at the end of the year, then I'll start to wonder. But, you know, there's still time for him to develop, and I think he's gonna do it because you can't get that many yards and that many touchdowns in college without being a really good player.
I'll tell you, you said you were watching them do the ladder drill. Watch Rashad Penny do that drill. Kyle and I were doing that in training camp. His feet are crazy fast when he does those.
Yeah, and I'll ask you this: have you seen that on the field in the games?
You know, not at first, but you know, it's funny. No. When he first came out in preseason before he hurt his wrist, he looked decent in the first game.
Indianapolis game.
He looked pretty good. We saw a couple of quick cuts, and then, you know, Kyle keeps giving me grief because he hates Rashad Penny and hates the pick. But in the which game was it? The Arizona game. He was the backup running back in that game and ended up running 9 times for 49 yards, which is better than 5 yards a carry. He actually looked pretty good as the backup in that game.
Yeah, well, that's what I would say. That he had like a little jump cut in that Indy preseason game, and then he broke his finger and he kind of got set back, and then the regular season kind of got to him. And so I think it's coming for him. But, you know, like you said, him going through the ropes, I mean, when he knows exactly what to do, yeah, he's got great quickness, but you're just not seeing it in the game because he's just unsure right now. So it'll come to him, and I'll bet you it'll be in one play. And I like asking players that, is there ever a play where it clicked for you? Because I know it did for me. And, you know, you can remember, like, the moment when that happened. And all of a sudden, you never look back. So I think that moment is coming for Rashad Penny, I would bet.
That's awesome. Dave, enjoy yourself. Clayton will be there eventually. He's taking a 48-hour flight to make it to that's what he says. It's very confusing, but John will be there. He says he's not going to see any sights unless somebody takes him out. So will you please take John to see like Westminster Abbey or something so he can see something in London? All right, we've lost Dave. All right, there we go. Apparently the idea of taking Clayton to Westminster Abbey was too much.
You pushed him
far. It's a bridge too far for Luke.
I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to be on the show.
Apparently not. Anyway, it's good to hear from Dave, and it does sound challenging for an 18-year football player to go and fly in a plane all the way to
London. Are you jealous of him, by the way?
I'm jealous of all those guys. Absolutely. Wouldn't you love to be there?
Yes. Yes, I really would love to be there.
I'm super jealous. I'm jealous of Dave and John and people who are going for work. I'm jealous of Lydia and Jessamine and people who are going there on vacation here and taking up their own time to go do. Of course, it sounds like a blast. Have you been to London?
I've never been to Europe.
London is it's okay. It's not my favorite place to go in the world.
It's New York with accents.
A little bit, yeah, and with like Seattle's weather. So like, there's not quite as much separation. Like when you go away, you want like different weather, different vibe. London's kind of got like the same gray, cold, drizzly.
It looks old though, doesn't it?
But it does. Of course, it's ancient, right? It's London. It's cool. It's cool. It's and more than anything, traveling. I love traveling for work.
I love it too. Oh, I love traveling.
Somebody's
for work.
Paying for you to go somewhere new.
Oh my goodness!
Count me in. That's awesome. You're going to pay for my meals. You're going to pay for my flight. I get to go somewhere I would have liked to have gone anyway, and you're going to pay for it?
Last company I worked for flew me out to San Diego
three times.
Oh, it was a dream
come true.
We're
never doing that for you. People don't trust you.
People are just complaining about oh, I've got to go out for dinner.
Really?
I've got to spend the company's money for lunch. And what are you talking about?
So terrible. I can't believe I get all these benefits and I get to be away from my young kids. Oh, did I say that out loud? You're not supposed to say that part, honey. You're not supposed to say that part. Maybe that's it. Maybe, without kids, traveling doesn't seem nearly as exciting as it does to somebody who's got kids at home. All right. It's tuppence. I'm sorry. It's a tuppence. He's going to be Rashad Tuppence in this game. Rashad Tuppence.
Is that like a Muffet?
Is it?
Or a Tuffet?
I thought it was like a pence joke.
No. It's
like penny to pence.
No.
I thought it was a money joke.
Like six
it
pence
is, yeah.
Mike
a tuppence.
Pence.
A tuppence is like a small, it's like a small unit of
Oh, I thought
currency.
It was like 2 pence. 1 pence, 2 pence.
Right, but I think they call it a tuppence. A quid.
4 quid.
I don't know what a quid is.
Quiditch.
Quid pro quo?
Yeah.
Quid pro quo.
All right. You want to play Danny's bit, and then I got something to talk about.
Yeah, I feel bad that Dave didn't get to hear it.
I know. All right. Well, Danny did a bit. Danny hates Oregon. He really does.
Passionately.
Yeah, and to the point where I actually think that there's something wrong because nobody should hate anybody.
It's one of my favorite things about Danny is how much he hates Oregon.
He really does, and he thinks that they're like a bunch of inbred deranged lunatics.
Well, they
are,
but
and so he created this little sketch.
Hey, Phil. The internet is saying that we're going to need to find a new football coach.
Again?
Yeah, Willie is apparently talking to Florida State about coaching them Seminoles.
Well, why in the hell would he want to go and do that?
I don't know, Phil. Could be the 18 conference titles, but more likely the 3 national championships and the fact that it's located in a state that's dadgum overflowing with football players. Why, we only recently allowed our citizenry to start pumping their own gas.
Yeah, but we got way more uniforms here at Oregon than they do.
Ain't that the truth? Speaking of that, we're trying out one that's a form-fitting black leather skin suit with a tinfoil wrestling signet. We call that one the Road Warrior.
Ooh, sounds fancy.
But who are we going to get to coach these guys next season?
Well, let's give Chip an old call.
Phil, he's been to Eugene before, which probably explains why he's going to UCLA.
That reminds me of a joke. What happens when the smog clears up down there in Southern California?
I don't know. What?
UCLA. Get it? UCLA?
Yeah, I got it. But seriously, who do you want to coach this team?
Well, I don't know. Let's look into this here crystal ball to see if that gives us any ideas.
A crystal ball, huh? I'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, there you go. Danny's ready for apparently dueling banjos down there in Oregon.
That was the Oregon Hillbilly skit.
It sure seemed to be.
There's going to be another episode I heard today. It's an episodic thing. These
really?
Two are going to get back together today.
I hope for the next couple of days we get that leading up to Saturday. All right. Tuppence is 2 pence. A quid is a pound. So there you go. If you're getting ready, for whatever reason they won't use the euro like everybody else.
Well, that makes sense.
Very confusing. All right, coming up next, I have one final question or two for Doug Baldwin. It's up next here on Brock and Salk.
One of the simplest stories: there was a receiver, a young receiver on our team, and he came, and Marshawn had a backpack, and the young receiver was like, "Dang, that's a nice backpack. Where'd you get it from?" And he literally takes it off his back, dumps out all his stuff, and says, "Here, you can have it." Grabs his stuff and goes to the locker room. And he's just like as simple and as plain as that. Like Marshawn would, didn't matter who you were, if you respected him and loved him for him as a person, for who he was, he would give you the shirt. Literally, he would give you his backpack off his back. And I thought that was just the epitome of the man that he was.
Who was the receiver? Me.
What if I told you Marshawn Lynch gave a backpack to Doug Baldwin and sparked a friendship and an undying loyalty that would last forever? In the next 30 for 30, we explain why Doug Baldwin would go to the ends of the earth for Marshawn Lynch while doing absolutely nothing for his quarterback ever. I don't get it, man. And maybe I'm reading too much into this, and I know there are people who are certainly saying that right now. It gets under my skin with Doug, who I really do respect in so many ways, and I think he's a thoughtful, interesting human being with a lot to offer the world. And I think the way he's gone about learning about the world around him and trying to affect change that he thinks is important, I really do. And I know it'll get lost in all the criticism I have. I respect that an incredible amount. I also think this stuff is ridiculous in the way he's treated Russell Wilson over the years, the way he has gone behind his back, the way he is, you know, been worked to make Russell seem like he is less than he is, all the while giving everybody else props. And you can hear the veiled shots, right? I mean, let me play you another sound. That's the backpack story that kind of started this from the other day. But in talking about Marshawn, you can hear the way he praises Marshawn makes it sound as if he is subtly saying that there are other people around who maybe don't have these qualities.
We live in a world where everybody's projecting this facade of, you know, you see it on Instagram, you see it on Facebook, you see it on Twitter. Everybody's trying to project this facade, and he was not about that. You know, he was genuinely who he was, whether it was in the media, at my house for my birthday, in the locker room, out on the street with his family. It didn't matter. He was who he was, and I think that speaks more volumes about the fun or the type of person that he was that he brought to this locker room more so than anything.
It's tough because all those things are true. Marshawn is as unique and as authentic as anybody. He is. He's beloved for those reasons. But the problem is that over time, you only remember those things. For a fan, that's great. I'm surprised that Doug Baldwin only remembers those great things about Marshawn Lynch and the undying loyalty he has for him, instead of remembering that that guy got overweight, didn't care as much, didn't want to practice, didn't want to play, didn't want to get on the team plane or bus leading to that. All you remember is that Marshawn gave you the backpack off his back. Cool story. I understand that the authenticity is what everybody and all the teammates and, heck, a lot of fans absolutely adore about Marshawn Lynch. But there's another side to this, and I thought we heard it from Pete Carroll when he was asked about Marshawn being in such good shape now.
I gave him a hard time a couple years ago when he first came back that he had gotten back into such great shape. And, you know, how come we didn't see that, you know? He was in great condition. He was trim and fast and all that.
You don't think that's a comment? Like, oh, boy, I sure wish he'd been like that when he was here. But that doesn't bother Doug. That doesn't bother anybody else. You're not bothered by the fact that the guy let himself go and didn't care enough about you as his teammate to want to be at his best while he was here. He hung it up, walked away from money that the Seahawks were paying him to quote-unquote retire. But, I'm still want to come back and play
but
in Oakland.
You said it there. He sees him as a teammate, which is so much more than just as a player, which is how we see him.
Right.
What did he do on the field? When it came time to get on the bus, he didn't go. When he did this, he wasn't there. But for Doug, he's more of a teammate and a person. So I guess I could kind of understand where he's coming from, where he sees him as a friend, not just someone he roots
cool.
for.
Cool. Well, I'm glad he's your friend. And I'm sorry you're not best friends with your quarterback. I'm sorry that your quarterback doesn't do... I'm sorry he's not as authentic as that. It must be hard. It must be so hard to not have a quarterback who's as authentic as Marshawn Lynch. He's not. You're right. If the goal of this exercise over the course of the last however many years for Doug has been to prove that Russell Wilson's not as authentic as someone like Marshawn Lynch, no kidding.
Congratulations.
No bleep, Sherlock. You figured it out. So did we. Guess what? We knew that from day one. You're not proving anything new. I'm sorry if that's so upsetting to you, but guess what? This guy is incredible in his own way. And if you can't see that, if you want to take shots behind his back and run to the press and be part of that's on you. And I said it yesterday, and I thought more about it last night. If I'm Russell Wilson, I absolutely freeze him out. Cool. Appreciate it. You're going to get 3 balls the rest of the year. I'm going to be looking for other guys. I'll be looking for Tyler Lockett, who doesn't snipe behind my back. I'll be looking for Brandon Marshall, even though he can't catch. I'll be looking for David Moore, who's going to go in there and make some of these catches. Because why do I want to keep dealing with this forever? Let's end this thing. And so I don't know whether Russell will do that. I don't think Doug's got very many catches. How many catches Doug have this year? Seven? Six? He missed a couple games, but in the games that he's been
in. Last week. He
has been largely a non-factor so far in this season.
Do you think you can do that in football?
It's
pretty easy in basketball to just skip over one guy.
Happens
it
all
doesn't
the time.
Matter.
I don't know. I don't know whether it happens. I mean, certainly T.O. thought, you know, everybody needed to make sure he got the ball. Can a quarterback kind of do the opposite? I don't know. I that's how I would be, but I'm a vindictive jerk. Like, I would absolutely, like, I'm an incredibly vindictive person, and if you are talking trash, like, I will find a way to lay in the weeds and burn you in the end. And if I were Russell Wilson, that's what I would be doing.
If I were Russell Wilson, I would do whatever it takes to get into Doug's ear and get to the bottom of it all.
Good luck with that.
That's what I would do if I were Russell Wilson. If I was truly a leader,
hey, dude,
and if I was Doug Baldwin, I'd do the same thing. I would truly set out and say the best case scenario for my team, for our success, is if we get this right.
After five years. I mean, it's been so long. I don't even know whether that's fixable at this point. With all the money that those guys have made together, with all of the success they've had, and I don't know the ego that factors into it. I don't even know whether that's possible. A lot of texts here saying that I'm a complete jerk and that I'm wrong. Others saying, no, you're absolutely right. They cleaned house but didn't get every mouse. I don't know. I'd be surprised if Doug Baldwin's here next year, personally. It's not a take based on information. It's a take based on gut feeling. My gut tells me Doug Baldwin will not be here next year and that he will not finish this year with more than 50 catches. It's going to be a lot less than that. I mean, based on where he is, we're almost halfway through the season we have. You look that up, he's got five catches so far in the year. I don't think it's more than that. I think he has now become sort of a third or fourth option for this team. I don't think Russell's going to be giving him a ton of balls for the rest of the year.
Six catches.
He has six catches on the year through five games. He's on pace to have about 20 this year. I don't know that he will end up being back next year. We'll
six catches on eight targets, by the way.
So I don't know. That's where I'm at with Doug Baldwin, and I know that I'm probably, in your view, going way over the top with this. You might be right. You might be right. I might be making something out of nothing, but I bet I'm not.
And this team is about Russell Wilson. If this offseason didn't show you one thing, it showed you it is about Russell Wilson. And now, moving forward, you look at everything through the lens of, is this about Russell Wilson or not? And if it's for Russell Wilson, it's there. And if it's not, it's gone.
I see the text. I'm going to read you something so you guys feel like you're getting your voice out here. Overreaction as usual, Salk. You're sounding like a drama queen. Did I miss something? Wow, you're talking about freezing out teammates. Yeah, I am. I think every time Doug makes comments like this, he's talking about Russell Wilson. I think that he's obsessed with it. I think that that's the one thing that whenever Doug makes comments about Marshawn or any other teammate, he's secretly thinking about Russell Wilson in the back of his head. That's my opinion. That's kind of what I've learned over the years and paying attention to Doug. So I may be right, I may be wrong, but that's my opinion on this. And we'll wait and see how this plays out over the course of the next few months and into next year. In the meantime, we'll answer your questions. We got a special guest, Stacy Rost, our Seahawks insider, is going to be in to answer some questions with me. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. If you're not too mad at me, you can stick around. We can answer questions together next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Socks. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
A lot of opinion on this Doug Baldwin, Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson thing.
Really?
A lot of text messages. Go figure.
Weird.
I can't read a lot of them, unfortunately. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. If you have questions, Stacy Rost is here. Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Stacy's our Seahawks insider. You can read her, of course, at 710sports.com. I'm sorry you're not in London. Do you wish that you were in London?
I'm not. You know I do, but only because I could do my royal wedding reporting.
Oh.
The
Did you hear Jess
you
and Lydia say they
for.
Saw they saw the queen?
Yes. They sent me videos this morning. As soon as I woke up, they were on my phone.
How did you feel about that?
I was really sad.
Sad that you weren't there or happy for them?
Sad I wasn't there. I'm not happy for them.
What would you
no.
do if you saw the queen?
The queen, okay. If I saw Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, I think I'd cry.
But the queen kind of...
The queen is, I mean, she's cool, I guess.
How much longer is she going to be queen?
What has she done for me lately?
Well, good point. She's been queen, I think, my entire life. I feel like at
Definitely
some point
mine.
There's going to have to be a new queen.
Yeah, Meghan Markle.
She's going to be the next queen?
In my mind.
Who is actually? It's not her, though, right?
No, it's going to go to Prince Charles.
Right.
And then it'll go to William.
But Prince Charles is, oh, Prince Charles, he's not married, right?
No, he is, to Camilla Parker Bowles. Oh, that's the one. You guys get with the program. This is why you hired me, 710sports.com. Go there for all the latest royal updates.
Wait, then it goes to William?
Then it goes to William.
Yeah, but nobody wants
Charles. Who's William married
to? No one wants Charles. William, oh my gosh. William is married to Kate Middleton, Catherine Middleton.
I thought Charles wanted to skip.
The Duchess of Cambridge.
I thought Charles said he didn't want it.
No, William said he didn't want it.
No, Charles said he didn't want it.
Did
no.
he? Well, I think it's going to go to him anyways.
But he passes. I think he abdicates.
And Prince Charles is 69 years old.
Yeah,
nice.
I think I'm 90. Nah, I'm not 90. I'm like 50% sure.
Maybe he Charles takes it for a little while.
No, I don't think so. I think he wanted it skipped.
That's spicy.
He's completely wrong.
Next question. I am?
Yeah, Charles wants the throne badly.
I thought he
William
did.
William has no interest in being king.
Are you sure?
No.
He'll be a reluctant king.
A reluctant king. I like it. All right, let's see what questions.
Tom Russell told us he'd be a benevolent king.
Why wouldn't he be?
710. Next question.
710, 710. Powered by Coors.
36 Life. Years old.
Jerick, since we are coming up to the holiday season, if you could choose just one holiday to celebrate of the next three, so Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's? I guess it's four.
Who cares about New Year's, though?
Whoa, I do.
Oh,
if you could choose just one to celebrate, what would it be?
Christmas.
Thanksgiving. Why Christmas?
I love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday. I think I like that it's like a theme, like it's a month, and everything is Christmas everywhere you go. What I love about Christmas is what other people hate about the holiday.
That it just keeps going and going and going.
So the people that are really mad that there's like Christmas decorations right now at Target, I'm the opposite of that.
It's too early for that. It's not even Halloween.
I love it. I'm going to have a Christmas-themed Halloween.
We have a guy in our neighborhood, which is also sort of your neighborhood. I can tell you where the house is. He dresses up as Santa every year and gives out full-size Snickers bars for
Thanksgiving. That's kind
of
scary. Oh,
for Halloween.
Wow.
He
dresses as Santa and gives out candy for Thanksgiving.
Full.
What a guy.
For Halloween. But it's full-size.
Leaves a trail of candy to his door.
He's all over the place.
Someone commented, sorry, Lydia, don't care about the royal family.
Yeah, nice try, Lydia.
You're ruining Lydia's reputation.
That nobody ever knocks on his door on Thanksgiving, so it's tough.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Until now.
He's waiting and waiting.
Stacy's going to go knock.
I'm going to show up.
Next question.
Jerks, when eating fish and chips, London style, what sort of dipping sauce do you prefer? You a fish and chips person?
No, because I really don't like tartar sauce, which I feel like, what else do you use? Barbecue sauce? I don't know.
No, it's tartar sauce, the fish. But I love the malt vinegar all over the fries and the fish, really.
No, I want barbecue sauce for everything.
Why do you always have, like, when you have, you ever put malt vinegar on fries? Have you ever done
that? I don't
that?
Like vinegar. Actually, the other day I had a conversation about my three least favorite flavors. It's blue cheese, vinegar, and wasabi.
I like all three of those things. Three of my favorite things. But for some reason, you always have to keep reapplying the vinegar. I've never fully understood that. Huh. The taste fades or something. Strange. All right.
Next question.
Jerks, if you were to be mistaken for a celebrity, who would you hope it would be?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That could happen.
I can't tell you. If I had a nickel for every time someone thought I was Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
You guys share kind of a facial structure.
Yeah, and a body structure. Oh. And a height structure. Everything about us.
I figured that went without saying.
Yeah. It's who we hope we'd get mistaken for?
Yeah. Kyle, you don't really have any... Like, there's no one, right?
No, just Kyle from Road Trip.
Oh, yeah.
DJ Qualls.
DJ Qualls, yeah. That's not what you're looking
for. We got a lot in common.
Next question.
Jerks, and really, howdy. Do you think London has better trash cuisine than Seattle?
I think they're pretty wasteful over there. I could see that.
You think that it would be better
there's
to
dump? There's some good stuff in there.
Don't you think some of the dumpsters and places that it would be like they're from like the 1800s?
You think the food's from the 1800s?
No,
like there's still the plague in there. You go deep enough and you get into like historical stuff.
Yes, that would be my fear.
It's just like amazing food, but it might have come too close to a rat.
Right, you just come back with bubonic plague.
Right.
They think I got a cure for that now. I think it'll be all right.
I think they probably.
Can you imagine if Howdy was just host zero for some kind of like reckoning
plague?
That comes back?
Yes.
What happened? Oh, he was dumpster diving.
You can easily imagine that. Of everyone I know, he's the one most likely to be patient zero.
Yep.
I wonder with a lack of gallbladder if that would make me more susceptible to that.
I don't know. I don't really know what the gallbladder does.
I'm not supposed to do anything, just store up bile.
Sounds like you don't even need it.
Jerks, who would win in a race, Justin Britt, DJ Fluker, or Jordan Ruse? Probably depends how long the race is.
I don't really care about that race.
Nah. Yeah.
You're not watching that?
It doesn't really sound interesting at all.
It's not DJ Fluker.
I don't think that the answer to that question is really important either.
It's probably not.
We just passed right over that one.
There's a lot of bad question.
There's a lot of Fluker questions in here. Can anybody answer why you have to keep reapplying the malt vinegar?
I've never even done this. Yeah.
On fish and chips?
Yeah. Why do you have to keep reapplying? Like, it just fades. You put it on the fries, and then, like, a few minutes later, there's no more taste of malt vinegar.
Someone says, Stacy seems to have the palate of a 7-year-old. You're not wrong.
Is that true? Are you one of those?
Yes. One of my favorite food groups. Yeah, thank you. Howdy and me both. I don't dive in the dumpster, but I love goldfish.
And Lydia.
All of you guys. I'm surrounded by people with 7-year-old
palate.
But Lydia
also eats vegetables a lot, so I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, we're out on that.
She's a poser.
Next question.
People want to know if that DJ Fluker O-line race would be in the snow. Would you watch it then?
That's another really unimportant question.
What if they had to wear snowshoes?
I think I would watch it then. DJ Fluker's already wearing snowshoes.
I would absolutely watch it. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I think Fluker crushes them in the snow just because of the width of his shoes.
I'm down for this race.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Stacey.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Stacey.
Who's going to win on Sunday?
Am I really guessing?
Sure.
Oh, Seahawks. I think Seahawks for sure.
All right.
Can I be that confident?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Raiders kind of stink.
They're 1-4.
All right. They're not very good. All right, we got to get out of here. That's Stacey Rost. You can read her at 710sports.com and follow her at...
Stacey Rost. I keep it simple.
R-O-S-T. Rost, like Frost, not an F.
How'd you come up with that? It wasn't taken?
No.
Unbelievable. Is John coming up next? I'm so worried about him.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got 48 hours of travel. This is like a riddle. But we talked to him this morning in Seattle. We're talking to him tomorrow in London. He's going to travel for 2 days in between.
I hope he's going to be
You okay. Tell me how.
All right, the show is coming up next.
A man rides into town on Friday. 2 days later.
Bob Stelton and Jake Heap's in for us tomorrow. Got you guys Monday morning. Till then, the hay is in the barn. See everybody.